Now we have letters to the evening news. There were lots of letters about the Achill Strait, but no agreement on the importance of a dual carriageway. Here is Nikki with five of the many letters that poured into the evening news postbox.
Graham McEwen from Horning wrote, I read from the headline that the long-promised dualling of the infamous Achill Strait has been removed from current plans yet again. As it seems, we'll have to make the best of it, as it is, for the next 10 or 20 years, and with safety being a top priority, I'd offer a temporary but economic and possibly life-saving solution until the miracle of dualling becomes a reality. Remember that to travel from one end of this dangerous road to the other, which is roughly 7 miles long at 60 miles an hour, the maximum speed for a road of this designation, would take about 6 minutes. Compare this same journey again, but at 50 miles an hour, which, if uninterrupted, would take just under 7 minutes. This would not be a universally popular solution, but my suggestion would be to install at each end of the road and at the Stacey Arms Bend a set of speed and distance gantry cameras and plentiful signage limiting top speed to 50 miles an hour. Easy to police and fundraising from those who just can't wait to save just 1 minute, or two or three. Hopefully those speeding drivers, who are the real problem, would soon learn that points mean prizes, including fines and disqualification. This action might just make things safer for those driving considerately who are often killed or injured by those not doing so. And Andrew Cordron from Thorpe End Garden Village was not impressed at the duelling proposal. He says, Thanks for reporting about the loss of the Achill duelling. Despite the pandemic and the possible stroke probable causes, the words growth and normal continue to be the mantra. The opinion that continual growth and our economy normal was unsustainable then and now doesn't get much airing. In the desperation to return to more of the most destructive, most polluting forms of transportation invented, we recommend more and wider roads. That will solve the problems of poor planning, overconsumption, plastic, fossil fuels and pollution of our atmosphere. There's nothing like a good road to get you there. Unbelievable. The children said, so what did they do in the dying days as the sun cooked in the earth in a carbon haze? It's easy. They widened the roads to get us there. Glyn Linder from Shirley Close in Norwich thinks overtaking is the main problem. He says, I see that the old chestnut, the duelling of the Achill Strait, has been raked up again. The comment from Broadland MP Jeremy Mayhew that people have died on this stretch of road can apply to virtually every road in the UK. I use this road regularly and it takes approximately 9 minutes to travel from Achill to Great Yarmouth. I really can't see what the issue is. Apart from one bend at the halfway point, which is well signposted, it's dead straight. Various local MPs and your political correspondent Richard Porritt described it as dangerous. It's not. The only dangerous aspect of this road is the indiscriminate overtaking by drivers who are hell-bent on getting from Achill to Yarmouth in 8 minutes instead of nine. Chris Dady from Salhouse thinks a 40-mile-an-hour limit would solve the problem. He says the promised improvements to the Achill Strait will not now happen for at least 10 years, as the concerns about this notorious road are safety-related. It's a surprise that a 40-mile-an-hour speed limit with no overtaking hasn't been enforced. And Councillor George Nobbs just thinks it was a predictable, broken promise. He writes, to those expressing disappointment or anger about the latest government betrayal with regards to the Achill Strait promises, what did you expect? It was Sir Keith Simpson MP who put it so succinctly when he said, you can always rely on Boris to let you down.
The new e-scooters also met with many comments. Rita Gullard sees problems coming. And I can see them becoming extremely unpopular if people decide they can legitimately ride them in all those side streets in the lanes. L84 is also worried. I guess, to be fair, Beryl have made a much better job of bicycles than Ofo did, so maybe they can make a better job than has happened in Paris, Hartlepool or Coventry. But personally, all my questions about these e-scooters relate to how they will be controlled. For example, if I want to know what is to stop irresponsible adults from hiring them from unlicensed youngsters and what methods they have for tracing those who injure anyone and other such questions. Edna Bucket is even more scathing. Just what practical use do these things have? Ill-conceived, impractical and ultimately unsocial and potentially dangerous. Only young teens will be attracted to them and they're supposedly barred from using them. Why do councillors believe Norwich will be any different from Paris, Coventry or Hartlepool? Patrick thinks the scooters are okay. I'm sure as a device the scooters are safe, however, I'm not sure I can say that for the riders. And John Brown read the article carefully and drew his own conclusions. Zip through the city streets and bell to alert pedestrians. Tell us all we need to know as to how people see these being ridden.
The story about water voles at Thixthorne also had Evening News readers up in arms. Grumpy Norfolk wrote, "No southbound slips off the A47 onto the A11 anymore, as was in the original plans. We get an extra lane on a roundabout with traffic lights instead. Norfolk being short-changed with half measures again. Perhaps we lost those to pay for those vole surveyors and the subsequent relocating of them." The Mardler thinks the voles could easily be moved. They write, "The voles can easily be trapped. There are a million places in the Broads where they can be relocated at a moment's notice, and they'd be fine. Every summer, the Environment Agency sends out weed cutters to clear reeds and weeds from rivers where there are voles, so that motor cruisers can plough up and down unimpeded. Nor that voles live where essential drainage dredging is carried out at intervals, nor that if Natural England were as serious about vole conservation, they'd be carrying out a comprehensive mink eradication scheme on a par with that which removed all the feral coypew." Standard Fair wondered if the voles couldn't move themselves. "Just an observation, but don't voles have legs and an ability to move away from danger on their own?" he asks. Meanwhile, John Townsend wondered if the voles would just be eaten by the otters that are also being protected. "I'm not against protecting these endangered species for one moment. However, recently otters were reintroduced to the Broads, and otters have no predators and will kill anything, including voles. Perhaps those in charge should have a more coordinated plan, so we're not spending lots of money protecting voles just to provide otters with a square meal."